You know, during Lent particularly, we again just risk in extraordinary ways. We fast more, we're reminded about fasting, we give of ourselves in new ways, and risk giving him permission to go farther and deeper in, because we want to go farther up, right? And so the Lord told us a while back, if you're going to go farther in the things of God, even the anointing, you got to go deeper. Well, deeper involves digging, and digging is not always fun. It's painful. And we talked about the fact from Luke chapter 2. We've been talking about this off and on, but I love this scripture from Luke describing John the Baptist's parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and it says about them in verse 6 of Luke 1, and they were both righteous in the sight of God. And see, there's a difference between our understanding of righteousness and we get really transparent and say, God, I want to be righteous in your sight. And then all of a sudden we discover that God starts going deeper, because we were content with this level of repentance, and God says, no, we got to go deeper than that. To the point where it says in verse 15 about John the Baptist, it says, and he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he gives them information about John. Many will turn back, the sons of Israel, to their Lord. And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. And so when God does this work in us, he gets down to issues like attitudes, not just actions. And if you, those of you who are CTKers, and I sent that little miniature Lenten thing I have for the last 44 days, this is a sort of a follow-up on what I sent out today. The Lord just ministered this to me, and it brings the Word of God just brings such clarity. And it says this in verse 29, so let the Lord go deeper. You know, let him get personal. Let him get nosy. You know, all right, Lord, now you're getting nosy. Let God get nosy in your life. Let no unwholesome word. And the word unwholesome here is the word rotten. It's the word, comes from a word that means to corrupt. It means if you take a piece of fruit and you put it with a bunch of other fruit, and but it's rotten, it'll make everything else rot too. You ever notice that? If you leave a bad apple with apples, it makes all the other apples rot. And so it's about corrupting other people, making them rot. Let no unwholesome word, rotting word, proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification. That word means to build somebody's own spiritual house or around you. But only such a word that builds their spiritual house, their personal spiritual house, according to the need, that it may give grace to those who hear. That's a pretty restrictive, powerful, get down to the attitude of the righteous stuff, right? I mean, how many of us, you know, just say things, repeat things that are rotting words that don't give grace, that don't build up people's spiritual houses, or build up the spiritual houses of the people we're talking about. It causes a rotting attitude towards them because we've said things about them. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We want to move in the things of the Spirit. Everybody look at me, right? How many of you want to move an excessive way in the things of the Spirit? Just raise your hand. All right, don't kid yourself. You can't skip this part. Because if you do just the opposite of what he said not to do, you grieve the Holy Spirit. And then when you act like you're anointing, it's just pretending and you're making things happen. It's not really the Spirit flowing. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now look what he says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And we don't have time to look at all that, but that's pretty powerful stuff. And then he goes on, he says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. This is the thing that was so powerful to me. He said, I don't want you just to forgive them. If there are people in your life that need to be forgiven, see, the reason things come out of our mouth is because we've not really dealt with the stuff in us. The reason we say things about people, the reason I do, is because there's still bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, slander, malice. And he said, it's just not important enough that you say, well, I've forgiven them. But listen to what he says. But be kind to one another and tender-hearted. That's the real acid test of whether you've really forgiven somebody. Is that you've forgiven them to such a degree. He says, forgive them, be tender-hearted, be kind towards them, just as Christ has forgiven you. You see, when you and I blow it, and we go to Jesus, and we know he extends forgiveness to us, he's tender-hearted towards us. He doesn't care around resentment. He doesn't care around an attitude that says arm's length. He doesn't care around an attitude. He doesn't walk around heaven and talk bad about you and me to angels. He has a tender heart towards us. Do y'all know what I'm saying? I can't tell you how many people I know now, today, who tell me they've forgiven somebody, but their heart's hardened towards them. They can't say a nice thing about them. And they can't hardly stand it when anybody says a nice thing about them around them. Their heart's not tender towards them. The love of Christ has now got governing them. They just have gone through the legalistic thing, oh, I've forgiven them. No, you haven't. Because true forgiveness results in a tender heart towards that person. You know what it is to have a tender heart towards somebody? You care about them. You believe in them. You want the best for them. That's the attitude of the righteous. And so my prayer for us, for me, is, oh God, if there's any place in my heart towards anybody, no matter how much they've hurt me, I think that's why it says in Matthew 18 is what he means, when if you forgive from your heart, not just some spiritual legalistic prayer or formula. God, if there's anybody that I don't have a tender heart towards, I have an attitude towards them. When I speak, there are unwholesome, rotting words that come out of my mouth, little subtle things. And I've been doing some repenting that I've just rejected the love of Christ. Because forgiveness is about love. It's not about a formula. If you've really forgiven out of the heart of Jesus, then you should be tender-hearted towards that person and care about them, because you're in union with the love of Jesus, just like he forgave you, he says. Instead of being any more concerned about what they cost you or what they might cost you in the future, you're now concerned about them and their future and their reputation. With me? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.